On the show today, we have Nuance Communications' very own Brett Baronic talking about what makes credit unions a unique market for biometrics. Fascinating talk here with Brett, so check it out. And before we get on with the interview, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Brett Baronic from Nuance Communications. Brett, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. And how are you doing, Mike?
Doing great. Doing great. Did I get the last name right? I think I did.
You got it. Perfect. Did I nail it? Thank
All
you.
Right, good. Good. Step one, get the guest name right. So step two, proceed with the topic. Step two, proceed with the topic is, hey, we're talking about today what makes credit unions a unique market for biometrics. And this one kind of piqued my interest when it came through my email box. So I've got to inquire further. So let's have Brett on to talk about it. So I'm going to start out. I'm going to dive right in here, Brett. So what makes credit unions a unique market for biometrics? Because this topic, I mean, biometrics just by itself is fascinating to talk about. But and then they bring credit unions into the mix. So what makes them unique here? What's the deal here?
Yeah, this is a fascinating topic. And Mike, I've been in the biometrics industry for over 20 years. So this is something that I'm inherently passionate about. And one of the things that I noticed when I started speaking to credit union leaders was their singular focus on members. And, you know, member this, member that, you know, we're focused on the member.
Yeah.
And it really hit me because when I speak to other organizations, there isn't that same central focus on the customer, right, on the members.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that has everything to do with, you know, the whole credit union concept. So it makes perfect sense once you think about it. And so I've had these conversations and usually they come back to, well, we need to create a better bond with the member. And in the olden days, right, everybody walked into a branch and that's how they did their financial transactions. And there would be a personal touch. And, you know, the individuals in the branch would know you by your name. And they'd say, hi, Brett, how's it going? And, you know, how's your daughter doing? And, you know, as we start shifting to digital financial tools, such as mobile apps and websites, they just become cold and personal.
Yeah.
And so how do you establish that relationship with the member? Especially think about the COVID times when a lot of the branches were closed or people didn't feel comfortable walking in. And so often it's the contact center that acts as that role, right? That surrogate for that person to person, human to human interaction. And if you start off that interaction with three or four security questions, then you're 2 minutes into the call and the member is not happy because you're not treating that individual as a human being. And they understand, right? You're there to protect their money and you're preventing fraud, but it's a far cry from that walking into the branch and being greeted by your first name. So I think that's why biometrics has, biometrics specifically in these customer care scenarios have been a great fit for credit unions.
So the latest technologies out there, especially contact center wise, they could pick up the phone. The contact center can pick up the phone when you call in and say, and they go, oh, hey, Brett, how are you? It can be that, right? And that's where the technology really kind of meets the personal service, right? So, and that's
Absolutely, Mike. And, you know, when I started in this industry, it took, you know, 20 to 30 seconds of somebody speaking before you could recognize them. And and as you can imagine, technology has evolved significantly. And now we can authenticate somebody within half a second of speech. I mean, that's so fast that you can't even finish a sentence in such a short period of time. And so it's really been transformational. And, you know, I have the pleasure of from time to time listening to these calls, right, being in contact centers and being there with the agents. And what I love seeing is the agents themselves just have, you know, a higher level of satisfaction at work because, you know, they say, I don't need to interrogate the customers. I mean, often it's, they can recognize the voice, right? So they have their own voice biometric engine that's operating in their minds. Right. But you know, in the past they've had to, you know, follow the steps and ask those security questions. And now that all goes away and they can just say, hi, Brett, how can I help you today?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I've never looked at it from the contact center agent's perspective. It's like, gosh, you know, it's got to be satisfying for them too. Like you said, not to interrogate the person calling up, like, all right, who are you? What's your name? What's your birthday? Where are you born? What planet are you on? That type of stuff. So to call up and go, oh, it's Brett. He's calling back again. Hey, how's it going? Type of thing. That's got to be satisfying from that side of the coin, not to mention what's going on in the member's mind too. So there's two sides of the coin here.
And a happy agent means that they're going to deliver better customer care to the member. So it's just a positive reinforcement cycle that, that's just really, really fantastic. And, you know, the other thing that I find really fascinating is that we've helped organizations, in the US, but also across the world. And so, you know, just to name a couple of logos, we've had Virginia Credit Union in the US that was, you know, one of the first credit unions that decided to embark on this biometric journey. But up in Canada, we had Desjardins, which is one of the larger credit unions over there. In Australia, Australia Bank, not, you know, they use the word bank, but they are a credit union. and I'm always surprised that it's the same, right? That singular focus on the members and that need to deliver a better customer experience. And so, you know, maybe my final thought on why credit unions are such a great fit to biometrics is, you know, a lot of other organizations will start off their, you know, creating a business case around operational savings and reducing the number of agents in the contact center, and of course fraud, right? Reducing those fraud losses. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But then usually the credit unions, the number one message that they communicate to me is, hey, Brett, that's all great. And yes, we're going to pencil that in into the business case, but we want to do what's right to the member.
Yep.
And I just love that approach, right? It's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm.
It's humanizing it. My gosh, like you said in the beginning, it's like, you know, in the beginning, the whole digital experience was very cold, very off-putting. And so, but now with the technology out there, and you guys are right there in the mix, it's very personal. It's, you humanize the situation, which goes so, so far. And like you said, there's two sides of that coin now. So really cool stuff. Do you have some like examples of how credit unions are already using this technology? I mean, we've already touched on it and kind of the humanizing it, but particularly as we emerge from our COVID cocoon, we're getting out of this whole pandemic mess. Gosh, can't happen soon enough. But do you have any examples that you could share with us as well?
Yeah. So the couple of credit unions that I mentioned earlier, they started off their journey as you would expect. So implementing this technology in the contact center. So when their members come in, call in, they get authenticated instantaneously and you know, there's no need for security questions. Now, one of the things that we've seen, you know, I think accelerated by the pandemic is this, a review of the digital channels and seeing, okay, well, these are great transactional platforms, right? Great to look up your account balance, great to pay your bills, but how can we humanize those a little bit more? And so what we've seen a number of credit unions do is work with us on expanding those biometric capabilities to those digital channels so that they don't need to, you know, type in a password or use any other type of legacy authentication method. So I think that's one step in a direction to, you know, if you start knowing who you're interacting with certainty, then you can come back to them with maybe some recommendations, right, on financial, you know, products or services or even just provide recommendations on how they could manage their finances in a slightly different way. You know, we're in the infancy of that, but I think that holds a great deal of promise for, you know, turning a platform that's very, very cold and impersonal into one that actually fosters a relationship with the customer and that differentiates from maybe some of the traditional financial institutions.
Yep, got that right. Got that right for sure. And I like how this stuff is only going to get better. That's the beauty of it, you know? Like you said, we're still in the infancy of this, right? We're just scratching the surface and it's only going to get better. So that's the really exciting thing about it. Let's talk about fraud here for a second because it's obviously everywhere, but how are biometrics enabling better fraud prevention and improved customer experiences or member experiences in this case?
Yeah. Again, funny story. When I started off having these conversations with credit unions, often I'd ask about fraud, and usually the message is, oh yes, once a year we get some weirdo calling in, and the agents can spot them like pretty much instantaneously, and it's not really an issue.
Yeah,
and I'm sure that was a little bit of a caricature because credit unions do have fraud,
mm-hmm.
but relatively speaking to the traditional financial institutions, it hasn't been as big of an issue. If you're a fraudster, you're going to target the largest organization possible so that the ROI on that attack is maximized.
Yeah.
During the pandemic, we've seen a shift. We've seen a lot of our customers call us up and say, hey, Brett, we told you we didn't have any fraud before, and now we're seeing things a little bit differently. And I think one of the key reasons is that fraudsters realize that they could attack the members directly very, very easily. And they'd call them up or they'd send them, phishing emails and, something along the message of, this is the government. We have your COVID checks, or we've got your COVID tests, or we'd like to offer you, schedule a vaccine appointment or something. And a lot of individuals, in this very bizarre situation that we find ourselves in, responded, right? And would provide their personal information and would provide their passwords and pins. And that was often devastating for those individuals as, they saw their identities compromised. And of course, the credit unions would always do the right thing, right? They would always work with the member to get them back on their feet and to refund any losses that they had. But just the traumatic experience of going through that and the time it takes to get them back to normal is something that we need to take into account. And so we've seen a lot of credit unions talk about expanding the use of biometrics to also proactively identify these types of situations.
Mm-hmm.
And moving away, the key here is moving away from any loophole that a fraudster could use, which means that moving away from pins, passwords, or security questions, which don't look at the human being, but rather are validating a data input, right? That anybody can get their hands on with a little bit of social engineering.
Yeah, indeed. So it's kind of a two-pronged approach here. Number one, obviously, is to enhance the customer or member service or experience in this case, and even the contact agent's experience as well. And then number two, and just as important, is kind of keep the fraudsters at bay. So this is a really powerful 1-2 punch here for folks. And having said that, so what's the difference between, I'm going to switch gears a little bit here. What's the difference between consumer-grade biometrics and enterprise-grade systems?
Yeah, so I think a lot of your listeners are very much familiar with the biometrics on their smartphone, right? So whether it's a fingerprint reader or a mm-hmm. facial scan, and we use it all the time. I use it all the time because it's so convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a key distinction that I want to make, is that yes, those technologies are very convenient, and they're often used in mobile apps, for example, right, to access the mobile app. But all that biometric resides in the device itself. So from the credit union's perspective, it's really no different than a PIN or a password. Mm-hmm. They're just getting a thumbs up or a thumbs down from the device.
Yeah.
And they don't actually know who the human being is on the other side of that smartphone. So is it the account holder? Is it the spouse? Is it a child? I probably shouldn't be revealing this in front of your audience, but I have my three kids have their fingerprints enrolled on my smartphone, and shame on me as a security professional for allowing that. But I'm a good father, and my kids, from time to time, want to take my phone. They want to browse. They want to play around with some apps.
Sure.
And I allow them to do that, right? And so, do you really know who is using that device? And the answer is no. And take that one step further and think about the fraud situation. So let's say that you have a very disciplined member, right? And they only have their biometrics on their device. Well, what if the child or the spouse, right, takes the device and, you know, just tries to authenticate in the financial app? It's going to reject. Mm-hmm. Is that individual a fraudster? They're not. So how do you distinguish that situation from somebody stealing the phone and then trying to attempt to authenticate in the mobile app? There's no way to make the difference between, you know, casual login attempt by a friendly, so to speak, and a malicious attempt. And that's why that enterprise grade biometrics, where the credit union itself has access to the biometric data, is so transformational, because they can authenticate individuals no matter how they interact with them, no matter what the device they use, and they can have that certainty that this is the right human being. This is Brett Baranek that's interacting with the credit union. And when it is a fraudster, that they can also identify who that fraudster is. And that's been really transformational, because when those fraud events come through and use some of the traditional fraud prevention systems, what you're really doing is deflecting those fraud attacks. With biometrics, you can identify the fraudster. And this makes perfect sense, right? Anybody who watches some crime movies or crime TV shows knows that, you know, a fraudster has to put on gloves or else they're going to leave fingerprints at the crime scene, right?
Oh, yeah.
But when they call in and they use their voice, then they're basically leaving their voice fingerprints at the crime scene. And unless you have a biometric solution there tracking those, then there's nothing that you can do with that evidence. Mm-hmm. But if you do have that biometric system, then you have a case that you can share with the FBI and something can actually be done with that fraudster.
Yeah, so much upside with all this type of stuff. I mean, this is a topic that we could talk about probably another 2 hours, Brett, I'm sure. So, but you have a job to do and I don't want to keep you from it. So anything else here to wrap up on this super compelling topic that I just can't get enough of? So anything else to wrap up here?
Yeah, I think the really exciting next step, and we touched on it a little bit earlier, is combining biometrics with some of these virtual assistant technologies so that we can have some of that human-like interaction between technology and the members. And, you know, if that singular focus on the member is properly implanted into the virtual assistant, then that can also help the brand differentiate itself. So maybe a topic for another session, Mike.
Definitely.
But I'd love to dive into that, and I can speak about biometrics for hours and hours on end. So I'm up for it.
Well, I could listen for hours and hours because I just find it super fascinating. It still has that sci-fi-ish ring to it. So that's what really interests me, and how it works and how it benefits, and what we just talked about. So it's really, really cool stuff, and I'm glad that folks like you are out there helping credit unions up their game in that area. So thank you for all the hard work that you guys do there at Nuance. And again, yeah, and I look forward to part two of our conversation, Brett. It'd be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Brett. Take care. Be well. Thanks again.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.